I found it helpful to play with opening and closing my eyes. When I'm sitting meditation, I find it's much more helpful to open the eyes over and over again. So I don't get lost in my mind. But during daily activities, I feel it much more helpful to just stop and close the eyes. Because otherwise I feel that my mind doesn't allow me really to be present.
Because
in daily activities we are lost outside. So then you close to bring inside. Yes. But in sitting we get lost inside into stillness, and then you need to open to wake it up. Yeah. He says, so when we open our eyes, because light comes in, he said that wakes the mind up. But it also attracts the attention of the mind to what it sees. So the mind tends to look, and then we forget, and we become lost in the outside. So he says, even when we have our eyes open and we are doing daily activities, he says the important thing is to keep directing the mind's attention inwards. So what you need to tune into is the mind at work. He said at the beginning, meditation is the work of the mind. So you have to be able to get a handle on it, like detect this is the mind working and then make it work. So bring that awareness inside in your daily activities. Yeah, so in daily activities, don't put too much attention. And if you sit continuously with your eyes open, he says then... don't put your attention to your eyes. He said, still work the mind to keep your attention inside the body and knowing everything. And sometimes it will naturally notice that they're seeing. And that's enough.
Naturally see.
Because seeing is happening naturally anyway. Yeah.
Then another question was, I think you were already speaking a little bit about that. But I feel it very, very difficult to remain mindful as I'm reading.
That's a bit difficult in the beginning because when we first start being mindful, it's a lot of personal effort. I am trying to be mindful. And when we're reading, it's also me who is trying to read and understand.
So
it's not easy.
But
when you have momentum, the awareness is being aware by itself. He says that's when it's easier to be mindful when reading. And also, he says you need to understand mind.
Mind activity.
So you know that when you can recognize that the mind is reading, that's when you can read and be mindful also. Because you recognize the mind
is reading. Focus lower.
It's about disidentification from the mind.
Not purposely. Not disidentification. It comes with practice, but part of it is actually understanding that all the things that is being done is done by mind. Yeah. So you see that it's the mind's activity, like he said.
Mind activity is the
When you can see that the mind is working, he says then whether you read or you look or you listen, you can see that it's the mind that is doing that, you know, and then it's easy to be mindful. Yeah.
And how to keep the interest?
Say when Zahmu Bololo.
Yeah, he says, okay, so.
Depends on the question. Okay, he says, do that. Put your finger and thumb together. Yeah.
And
touch it Yeah, you can feel this touching sensation.
How many touching?
How many yes. touching sensations?
One or two?
Sorry, I don't understand.
How many sensations there? One or two?
Is there one touching point or two touching points? So, how are you looking at it? Or if you look at it different ways, how does it feel?
It changes when I change my perspective.
So, how many perspectives are there?
At least three.
Tell him.
I can focus just on the touch of the one finger or the two in between each other, yeah. or the surface, which is not the touch, but just the surface in between them. I think I start to understand about
okay,
interest.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Which part is more obvious?
So which perspective is most obvious for you?
I can choose it.
Yeah.
That's right.
So which one is it for you now?
In this moment, I choose the surface of contact, just the contact, not the skin itself.
Now look at both. Now look at both together. Mm-hmm.
Which one more obvious?
Now the one I'm looking at.
So you see how that's what the mind is doing. The mind is paying more attention to one side. That's the work of the mind. So you see how what you're observing, the object is a body sensation, right? But what is doing the work is the mind. If the mind doesn't come in, that cannot be known. So he says, this is just an example of how he brings up interest, yeah.
So I understand that the mind works as a kind of magnifying glass.
Sekan ne mambalu lo be re.
Sekka pa ni ya. Sekka yok kon nakhu lo sat san ni la.
Yeah, but they're connected, the mind and the body. They're always working together.
Ka u breathing a lo da wo.
See.
Phaung ne pein ne ba lo phi le.
He says breathing. He says why does the abdomen rise and fall?
Well, I have anatomical explanation for that.
Yeah.
Anatomy experience lojina.
But have you felt it experientially? Yeah. So why does the abdomen rise and fall?
Because the breath is happening.
Okay.
Why do we breathe?
Because my subconscious mind is doing that for me. My body is doing it.
Sika.
To live.
I do that experience.
But that's not your experience.
Yeah, okay.
Now experience don't look at that moment.
Another one, he said.
That should I found out.
When you breathe in and the abdomen rises, which one comes first? You breathe first, the abdomen rises, or the abdomen rises and then you breathe?
It happens together.
And the mind doesn't know the answer yet. You don't have to have the answer, but it makes the mind sit up and look more clearly. Yeah.
So ask myself questions to increase the interest.
And you can ask questions either about the experience, what is happening now, or you can ask questions about the mind that is working, the awareness, and how it's working, or the interaction. So that's the investigation, when we're looking at this mind-body. Yeah, he says there are yogis who, in Burma, they've done breath meditation for years, and they don't really know how breathing works. But they've been watching their breath go in and out. Yeah, he says, do we breathe through one nostril or both? Right, left. Yeah. Yeah, he says some people, they do breath meditation for years. They don't even realize that we breathe through only one nostril most of the time. Yeah. Because they don't want to know. There is not a curiosity about what they observe.
Yeah.
Because they're using that object to just calm the mind. That's their goal, calm the mind. So they're not thinking of anything else.
Yeah,
that's why now he's asking us to want to know, to have the desire to explore and discover. Because when we have that volition, then it happens.
Yeah, I felt that yesterday very encouraging to not look for peace in meditation, but to look for understanding.
Because peace is not the direct goal. Because when understanding arises, peace is part of the picture. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, he says, unfortunately, most of us seem to practice to become peaceful, to, you know, make our troubles go away, instead of to understand. But the whole purpose of vipassana meditation is, vipassana means special seeing. So the whole purpose is to see specially, that the practice is a means to gain insight, more wisdom.
Yeah,
he says our normal everyday view is the mind has the lens of greed, aversion, delusion. He says, and we're going to change it so that the mind starts seeing through wisdom, through insight, through understanding. And that's, and he said it's like 180 degrees.
Upside down.
Upside down, he said.
One time. Quite, no? Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Interest, wisdom, but
yeah, so for vipassana meditation, he says the most important thing is understanding how wisdom, how to use wisdom in the practice, and then how wisdom, understanding how wisdom comes out of the practice. He says.
But I'm aware of the object.
He says, first we are just trying to be aware. That's the means. And we are aware continuously for a long time. He says, then there's momentum. Then we need to start looking a bit more carefully. What can we understand? What is here?
Yeah,
it's like doing yoga. He says, when we first do yoga, right, you're just doing movements, asanas. You're following instructions. But when you do it for a long time, you begin to understand how it all comes together, how the whole thing works. How to breathe, when to breathe, how it benefits, how the movement should be done right, and so on. He says, anybody with a little intelligence, he says, if the person is given any task to do, right, whether it's cooking or filing paper, whatever, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you start to learn how to do it quickly. How to do it better, how to make things taste better or make it more efficient, you change systems, he said, right? So that's the same. But if we don't allow that intelligence to come through, we keep doing the motions, but we're not learning. Yeah. So if learning doesn't happen, then the quality of what we're doing doesn't become better.
Aku tahu tak?
He says he's amazed at toothbrushes. I mean, toothbrushes have been around for how long? He says, and the companies keep coming up with new kinds of toothbrushes.
Still,
until now, he's just amazed. So many kinds. He says, what did they think of? What are they thinking? They look at the toothbrush all the time, brush their teeth. He says, because the more you do something, the more information must come out, more understanding must come out.
Very simple.
Toothbrush is so simple. He says, but still, more inventions come out for the toothbrush. And the mind is so incredible. He said, there's so much that we can discover. He says when he was young and his teacher asked him, I think he was a teenager, and his teacher asked him the breathing question. Why do you breathe? And he didn't know. He said it took him a whole week of watching his breath to figure out why he's breathing. He said he has to think about it, watch it, think about it, watch it. Yeah. 1 whole week. Yeah, so that's interesting. He has a question. He wants the answer. He said it's an answer that is clearly not out of his reach. He should be able to know. So, yeah. Work at it. So if we are paying attention to something a long time, he said we definitely should be knowing more about it.
Right? Okay, yeah.
So, during the first days, I had more like dullness of mind and sloth and torpor and all this stuff that...
When you sit, why is your head sort of like that?
Because I feel like I'm covered in such a... like atmosphere or something that...
It happens every time you sit.
Yeah, it happens even after a month. It's always there.
Don't continue to sit like that. He said because it just becomes
a habit.
It's a habit of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the mind has a pattern. A habit pattern. So anything that you let the mind do continuously without work, trying to understand it or something, it will just set into a pattern. So you sit in this position like this, your idea is meditate like this, and immediately the mind will do what it usually does because you've let it do that for so long. So open your eyes, do the opposite of what you would usually do.
He
says, or change your sitting posture. Instead of cross-legged, sit.
Japanese.
Anything is, yeah, like put your legs under like with a stool, but...
Because
you want to change the pattern of the mind. Yeah, you want to change the pattern of the mind. Because it has got into this pattern with this particular posture, form, and this thing, you want to change things so that it breaks out of the pattern. The other option is to change the mind.
Directly,
yeah. But one of the easiest ways to deal with it, the most efficient ways to deal with it is just to open your eyes.
And
then he says also know the whole body posture. Be very sensitive to every movement of your body. He says in the Satipatthana Sutta, it actually says if you're bent know that you're bent. If you're straight, know that you're straight. So being really sensitive and noticing whether the body is a certain way, and then straightening it if it's not in a natural way. Yeah. And then when the mind is dull, then the mind isn't alert anymore. It's not sensitive to what is happening in the body. And then the body is doing things and the mind isn't really aware anymore. And so he says, if with your eyes closed, then every now and again test, you know, like move your head to feel it, so you know whether it's straight or not. But the thing is, with the eyes closed, sometimes the mind can think the body is in a certain posture, but it's not. That's because the mind is able to bring images into its
assumption.
Yeah, it will assume, it will think that it's bent. But when you open your eyes, you find it's not bent. Or it'll think it's straight, but when you open your eyes, it's bent. You know, things like that can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the meditation center in Burma, there are a couple of nuns who walk in the meditation hall and upstairs maybe. So Seara says to them, if they see a yogi is, you know, a lot of torpor, he says to wake the yogi up. So the nuns will go around and tap someone. Most people understand that means that there is some posture that's not really, that shows that they're not very alert, you know, so they'll sort of wake up. But one lady, she was, you know, the nun was tapping on her for a while and then she got up, she was very angry. She's like, I'm aware, why are you waking me up? Why are you like disturbing me?
She's aware like this. This is awareness.
But she's completely
body aware, looking.
But she wasn't aware that her body was moving like that. So she's not completely asleep. So she thinks she's aware, but she's aware in some dull place where she doesn't even know how the body is moving.
But for me, it's like the dullness is over now.
Mm.
And I know from previous retreats that I tend to bend like this.
Mm.
It's not a sign of dullness. It's a sign of that I don't really pay that much attention to the posture. And I just let the body loose.
Mm.
And if I try to sit straight and upright and all even,
mm-hmm.
then then there is too much effort just in maintaining the body itself, and I kind of like lose the mindfulness in a way. Because what helps me to keep the mindfulness is to have to not move that much. And even though I tend to like bend a bit. I distinguish between two bendings. The first days it's usually sleepiness,
yeah.
But then later it's not sleepiness. It's more like it's maybe a habit, but it's a habit of kind of like creating my own atmosphere where I can watch things. Because what I usually watch is the body sensations. I don't do breath that much.
Mm, that's fine.
And the body sensations are all around, and I'm aware of
him. Yeah, but ตัว body sensation ကြည့်တာများတယ်အဲ့တော့ तू ကြည့်ကျင်တယ်လို့ तू ဟိုကြည့်နိုင်တယ်ပေါ့လေအဲ့လိုပြောတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့တကယ်တမ်းဟိုဟာလို့ဖြစ်နေပါလေဗုဒ္ဓရဲ့ခိတ္တဥစဉ်ပြောတယ်လေပုံစံကြည့်လို့မကောင်းဘူးအဲ့လိုကြည့်မကောင်းဘူးတရားတွေအဲ့ကြည့်လို့မကောင်းဘူးတိတ်ရော့ရော့လေးနေတော့နေလို့ရပါတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့အဲ့ဒီလိုကြီးဖြစ်နေတာတော့ကြည့်မကောင်းပါဘူး It's one thing to be relaxed in a sitting posture, but to be in the posture that you're in and the way you're moving, he says, it doesn't look very natural. And for someone looking at you, nobody will think that you're mindful. It doesn't look wakeful. Because when the mind is awake, the body actually becomes very straight.
Body and mind are relationship serious. Say time mind and body like time mind. Say ashi line, say no jar line, body are too low to confirm.
The body and the mind are very closely related. When the mind is soft or dull, the body is soft and dull. When the mind becomes very clear, alert, and there's good samadhi, there's actually a word in Pali for it, you know. The body becomes strong and it actually supports. Like many yogis feel it. It's like an energy that just straightens you up. You cannot bend over. You're not trying it. There's an energy that comes into the body from the mind.
I know the feeling.
And he says, it's not that you purposely hold your body stiff. He says, you can hold your body very naturally, but upright. And then he says, even if you try to hold yourself more upright than that, you cannot. The body will always fall back into a relaxed, upright position.
Those are the two positions I'm distinguishing. Of course, the last 2 days was quite a lot of slot and topper, and I was dull and I was sleepy.
Yeah.
So I tried to open my eyes and move a bit.
Yeah.
That's what I did. But
yeah.
I think it's over,
it's
more
old,
or less for okay. Yesterday evening and today morning. I noticed that. What came was quite nice lightness from the instructions that there shouldn't be such a big difference between sitting and walking and daily activities.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the question that before you stand up from a sitting meditation, why? there shouldn't be a time, like now it's an hour, okay, I should finish the sitting because the hour has passed.
Yeah.
What really brought kind of a lightness into it was the instruction that you should ask yourself why you want to move, why you want to stand up, or while you're walking, why you want to finish the walking meditation and so on. So this brought this clarity in it a little bit, but it started yesterday evening. That's
true.
So, in the beginning, on the first day, I was very tired, or usually it can happen that when I come to a retreat, I have not slept enough. So, I was sleepy, and then the next day I was sleeping more during the day also, so it became better. Then I have been first kind of looking at the awareness from the point of object, so not the single object, but which object comes to mind, and it feels or it felt to work okay, but it's still like I have to put maybe some kind of effort with my thoughts into that. And in the end of the day, it feels like I'm doing some work.
You're tired at the end of the day.
not very tired, but it doesn't feel natural in a way. Well, you could say it's tiring in some sense, but I can meditate the whole day and it's still okay. But also the awareness is not continuous because I lose it every now and then. And then today I was kind of trying also when, maybe it's most obvious when I go for a walk, then I'm having this kind of sense of the mind that it's, sometimes I can get kind of it close to, so it feels like I'm aware of the mind, but I can't do it for a very long time. But in a way it feels easier because in that case I'm not so much thinking about the meditation, yeah. So it's less work. But then it's more easy to get lost in thought. So I don't know, because it's new and it's difficult to do it in
right,
some
right.
sense.
So you can only do it for a while and then the mind yes. gets lost.
Okay. So I'm wondering, is it somehow better to try to do the one or the other, to kind of more concentrate on the objects or the bring the awareness of the objects or try to get this closeness of the awareness.
Tu patama ne yela kwa tu ei ni re ni le le tu ei lai de aro ne ne ta ta la re tadi tha bo chu sa yin tu a sikka ba ti ni le lo me re re ho ayo ne ta khu bi ta khu ti ma ti ra re sa sikka ba ti ni le lo lo de da ma ne ne ro chu sa mu ro the ya re de aro တနေကုန်ဆိုတော့တနေကုန်ပြီးရင်သူအလုတ်လုတ်ထားတယ်လို့ခံစားရတယ်တပြတ်ပင်မန်းလာဆိုတော့ပင်မန်းလာတော့နည်းနည်းပင်မန်းမှာပေါ်တော့ကြိုးစားနေရတော့ဒါပေမဲ့တနေကုန်အထုတ်လို့ရပါတယ်တဲ့အဲ့လိုပြောတယ်နောက်ပြတ်သူပြောတယ်ဒီအပြင်မှာလမ်းထွက်ရှောင်ရင်တခါတလေသူစိတ်ကိုတည်နေလို့တည်လို့ရတယ်တဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့အကြိုက်မရောက်တဲ့
He says when it's not strong, the awareness of the mind or awareness of the awareness, come back to the objects or the bodies.
Body sensation or the body.
Come back to objects that are clear, like body sensations and all, so that it doesn't get lost in thought. He says, the way to know the awareness is first to know something that is easy to observe, like body sensations, easy to be aware of. And then because it's easy to know it, then awareness is strong, is clear. Then if you keep being aware continuously, the awareness gets stronger. And then it's easy to know that awareness again. So you have to build it again and again by using body sensations. So when you tune into the mind, sometimes it's very subtle and after a while you can't, don't try. Go back to the beginning again, building awareness, using body sensations or whatever physical sense doors is easy.
Well, maybe I was meaning that it's kind of like having two different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do one, then the other doesn't happen. So I'm in that sense, I was wondering, should I kind of try to have that perspective of being closer to the mind when it feels natural?
When it feels natural?
Yes.
Tu apyore di shutdown na khu a matu re shutdown ta khu o yu thai na ta khu ma myin de lo ba re aero tu a sait na ni sat de lo khan sa de kha ma tabawa cha de kha ma a so yin sait chi ba ti lo ya ma la re a so yin tu a yu
sait tin yauk le ti de
but if you know the mind, really know the mind, the body is already known, so you must know that the body is also being known, because the mind is always working with the body. So when you talk about knowing the mind, the most important mind to know is the awareness itself. Because from that, everything else is known. If you know the awareness, then all the other sense doors, sense objects come into the mind.
Right? You don't have to go to the objects. They come into the mind. So all the body objects are also there.
Mind knows everything.
The mind knows everything. He says, if you watch the mind only, if you want to watch the mind only, he says, you cannot avoid knowing the body because the mind knows the body. He says there is a way to concentrate on just mind where you are completely tuned into the mind, then it excludes the body. But he said that requires a lot.
It's not like that, but it's kind of when I'm concentrating. Or kind of when it's just close to the present, then I think it's still taking most of the attention. So if I'm kind of approaching the practice through the objects, then that's kind of what is closest to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But then if I'm approaching it through the mind,
yeah,
then the objects are kind of more far away.
Ah, okay. But they are still there.
They are there. Yeah, and yeah. And then it depends on the situation that if I'm walking, then maybe at one time I can kind of quite clearly be aware of the walking itself, but it's kind of focused on being really present because then sometimes when I'm being, then when it's hard to say if I'm aware of or not because there is kind of coming a little bit of gap into the awareness and then at some point I am maybe lost in thought. But then if I'm looking at the mind, then it's very clear if I'm present or not.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. Yeah.
Continuously to asama ma phin ne.
Yeah. 100% continuous mindfulness. Impossible. Well, that's impossible.
Asama impossible. Shame ma ya le be. To tha ni ya le.
Particularly when there's no momentum. It's only in periods of momentum that is 100%.
Ya sai chin ni a thot de sai chin ni a myeo myeo pyao ne. A kaung ne khan shi, a nei ne khan shi, a tet ja shi ni.
Yeah, and our own even our personal effort, you know, it has ups and downs, right? Sometimes we are able to put in more, sometimes less.
Now, definement phit de khan ni a phit la de khan mi jain du bae ka a pyo pyo ba.
Yeah, and then other things affect the mindfulness, like if strong defilements come up and we have to deal with them, then the, you know, it affects the mindfulness also.
Okay.
So, for me, the first 2 days have been mostly about just calming down. Used to, at retreats, I'm used to only watch rising and falling for the first 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been doing so far.
Yeah.
But and besides that, the most intense objects are the classic ones like hearing, thinking, and bodily sensations, some intentions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, I spent some time to thinking and trying to figure out how to set up my schedule because this free practice concept is new to me. So mm-hmm. I was. Spend some time thinking and how to set up my schedule.
How to make it work for you.
Yeah. I don't have any specific questions.
Tu wa ta cha sa khan ni ma lou nei ja tu ru wa patthama na ya phang bing mae shu bro sait ko nyin yang lou daw tu di na ya ko phang bing mae shu bro sait ko nyin yang lou nei de de di apyin ho pyin than ne ayon ne ya yo yo le ba de ho ခန္ဓာကိုယ်ခံစားမှုတွေအတွေးတွေအချင်းစိတ်နဲ့ပါပါပေါ့နောက်ပြီးတော့သူ schedule မရှိတော့သူနည်းနည်းလေးစဉ်းထိုင်စဉ်းစားရတယ်သူဘယ်လို schedule လုပ်ရမလဲပေါ့လေသူကသူ schedule လုပ်ဖို့သူစဉ်းစား
တယ်
Right.
Yeah, but
make your own schedule.
Yeah.
You can. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Sadhya said in the instruction that we should try to not slow down and try to maintain the awareness while in normal, like daily life, speed. So I tried mainly in the walking meditation. But what I found that when I'm walking slowly, then I can maintain the awareness all the time, or not all the time, but when I just go to normal speed, then I'm very very easily distracted, and then lost the mindfulness. So that's
because of habit.
Sorry,
it's habit.
So you need two things. You need patience and you need persistence. And you need to do this. He says, when you walk slowly, you can know more detail, right? When you walk fast, you cannot know detail. You can only know, say, one thing at a time, like touching, touching, touching. But what you need to do is do it properly, like clearly. You clearly tune in to each sensation and keep persisting. And you will find that after a while, the mind starts picking up. The awareness starts picking up speed. But initially, for a while, you need to be patient and let it just be very simple, just one thing, you know, continuously, one after the other. So he says, and it doesn't have to be just the touching under the foot. Something that holds your attention clearly, like you're walking, it could be the feeling in your thigh or the knee or something that holds your attention. And if you do it continuously, you know, after a while, it's sort of like it starts to open up. You were knowing one thing, after a while, it becomes like the mind naturally knows almost like your whole leg walking. And you didn't have to do it. It just opens up by itself. Yeah. If we can only be mindful when we are walking slowly, then at home we will never be mindful. Because nobody walks like that at home.
Siaro's
sole purpose in teaching meditation is so that people can meditate at home, not just in retreat. So, you know, yeah, it's like a training for home.
Yeah, I was just searching for...
How many retreats have you done this slow walking?
A few, but shorter. Just weekend retreats.
Weekend retreat. Oh, weekend retreat. Try what he said. Yeah? Just persist. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. So he says, don't... Like the walking is not important. What you want to watch is how the whether the mind is paying attention properly. So keep an eye on. Yeah. So you're walking and where's the mind? And then make the mind work to pay attention. No?
Second question. It happens to me a lot in meditation. Not about, but... when I'm just aware of something and trying to maintain the awareness, then sometimes came up some realization that's applicable to daily life,
yeah.
And then I can feel the grasping, the greed to hold to this knowledge.
Yes.
And to remember it and apply it.
Yes.
And on the other hand, I can feel at the same time some maybe also greed to let it go, to just be aware. And this fight happens in me, and I'm a little bit puzzled. What shall I do?
တခါလေးသူညာတခုခုဖြစ်တယ်အဲ့ညာငါကအိမ်မှာသုံးချလို့ရမယ်ပေါ့အဲ့လိုညာဖြစ်နေတဲ့တဖက်ကလောဘဒီညာညို့သိမ်းထားခြင်းနဲ့ဒီညာညို့သုံးခြင်းနဲ့သုံးနိုင်ခြင်းနဲ့နောက်လောဘတခုလောဘလို့သူကသုံးတယ်နောက်လောဘတခုကမဟုတ်ဘူးတတိဆက်ထားရမယ်ဒီဟာကြီးကိုခဏလှုပ်ချလိုက်ပေါ့အဲ့လိုစဉ်းစားတယ်အဲ့ဒါအဲ့လောဘနှစ်ခုကတိုက်ပွဲဖြစ်နေအမအဲ့လောဘပြန်ရှုလိုက်
So at that time he says just know the greed.
Aware of the greed, does it?
Yeah, so you're continuing to practice, which is aware of the greed. The big object now is greed, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Because so long as we continue to be aware, insights can continue to arise. So, but the important input is the awareness. We must keep being aware. And then that allows more insights to arise.
Thank you.
So the awareness, the practice is awareness, is important. He says, we only have to take care of awareness, and awareness will bring us all the others. Yeah? We must take care of that. Yeah, so whatever happens, like if there's confusion, no confusion, if there's greed, no greed, whatever happens, he says, acknowledge that. Keep stepping away from it.
Step back, recognize.
Yeah, keep stepping away from it and recognize it. This is the new experience happening, now greed, now whatever.
So basically that means switching then... I am aware of something and I will recognize the greed.
Mm-hmm.
So I should switch to greed and be aware of the greed.
Greed, yes. If you recognize greed, be aware of greed.
Okay.
Definitely, yeah. And when the greed is gone, then you can go back to your normal.
Okay. Thanks.
Greed or aversion or
greed and aversion are very important to be aware of, because when greed and aversion come up in the mind and we watch them, we learn how to tune into the mind. So that is our like access door. So the more we watch greed and aversion, the more we understand mind. Mind states are more easily accessed through the way we feel.
Feeling and thoughts.
So I'm trying to understand the difference between being aware of objects and being aware of mind.
Mm.
And I'll try and explain how I experience that and see if that is what Sado is trying to point towards.